We are experiencing a new beginning at Pioneer Church in a number of ways, not the least of which is all the new regulars, and especially the kids who joined us this past year. So this is The God of New Beginnings, Part 6. And this is the first time I have had two subtitles for a message. We could call this A Place of Refuge or A Warning to Shepherds. You can decide for yourself which to call it. Last week I read from 2 Samuel chapter 7, where David expressed his heart's desire to build a temple for the Lord. And what followed from God was great blessing and wonderful promises to David. David had it in his heart to build God's house, and God, in turn, built David's house. But there were some verses there that I did not read, and I want to go back to them. This is what I read, beginning with verse 8. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. That's what I read last week. But there's something else there that God said right after that. Something that's very important and very relevant. Verse 10, God said, And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. Two things here. Two very important things for everyone who serves in any way the care of God's people. First, just look at what was in the mind and heart of God. And one of the primary reasons God gave for giving David his position of authority. I will provide a place for my people. A place. A place of their own. A place where they belong. A place of refuge. Throughout the scriptures, you see that theme. God providing a place for his people. He provided a garden for Adam and Eve. They got kicked out of it because of their sin. But he never gave up on his beloved people, no matter how far they roamed. He provided a place for Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and his family in the land of Canaan. Then he provided a place of refuge for them all in Egypt when there was famine and hunger everywhere else. Then when Egypt became a place of slavery and oppression for God's people, he brought them out of Egypt with a great deliverance and planted them back in the land of Canaan once more. Then some were exiled into Assyria and others to Babylon. But God always had it in his heart to provide a place for his people, a place of refuge. What is this room we are worshiping in right now? We call it the sanctuary. To my mind, there are two main meanings to that word, sanctuary. One has to do with the presence of God. It has to do with holiness. A sanctuary is a holy place. Holiness, purity, specialness. If something is holy, it means it's set apart, the very opposite of common. A sanctuary is a holy place because it is there that the manifest presence of the holy God resides. It's the presence of the living God, the ever-living and ever-loving God. So there is reverence in that. But it's not a reverence of terror. Comparing Christian worship to the days of Moses, Hebrews 12:18 says, You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast and to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them. Verse 21, the sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. That's a reverence with terror. But reading on, verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Joyful assembly. So it's a reverence, but it's a reverence of wonder and love and joy and delight. So that's part of the meaning of sanctuary. But the other part of sanctuary is that of refuge. And that is perfect because where the presence of God is, there is refuge. We just read that God said to David he was going to prepare a place for his people where they would no longer be disturbed. Why were they disturbed? The next verse tells us. God says, wicked people will not oppress them anymore. The leaders of God's people were oppressing them, taking advantage of them. Political leaders, religious leaders, they oppressed God's people. And what God is describing has happened in every generation. In Jesus' day, it was the Pharisees who were the oppressors. Jesus said to them in Luke 11:46, you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. In the days of Martin Luther, there would never have been a Reformation if the Catholic Church at that time hadn't been oppressing the people. Every generation has its oppressors. And we well know of the abuses of authority in churches in our own generation, because we get a little authority and it goes to our heads. But let us all who serve God's people be warned by this, something God spoke to Ezekiel in chapter 34 of his book, starting with verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not care for the flock. You've not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Then verse 11, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness, and I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in the rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock with justice. So here is God's heart for his flock. They've been abused by bullying shepherds. But God has a plan to bring them out from places where they were scattered and bring them to a place of their own, a place of refuge. And God is still providing a place of refuge for his people. It's called church. At least, that's what a church should be. Then he says, verse 23, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And when God is saying David will shepherd them, he's speaking figuratively. He's really speaking of David's descendant, Jesus, also often referred to in Scripture as Son of David. The Son of David would be for all God's people what King David was for ancient Israel. David was a refuge and a shelter for ancient Israel. He was their protector, their champion, their defender. He enlarged their borders, liberated them from their enemies, brought them peace and prosperity, and made them dwell in safety. Jesus is the Son of David. For David's very DNA was passed on to Jesus through his mother Mary. David was ancient Israel's beloved, their great and glorious king. And Jesus is all that and so much more to us. Our King, our Lord, our protector, our peace, our gentle Savior, the Lamb of God. He is Lord of his church. He dwells in his church, and he ministers to the needs of his people through his church. That's what makes church a special place and a place of refuge, because that's where the Good Shepherd dwells, and he will shepherd his people age after age, even to the end of the ages.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.